This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Greetings again, and thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center back at it, putting in a full week this week, and then we get a couple of days off next week. But he's our fabulous producer. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom saying traffic-wise, we're just looking at some volume problems at some of the traffic lights around here, but no big long slowdowns, and Northumberland's doing great. Just a little slowdown on folks approaching the Orange Street light, and a little bit of a slowdown for folks getting off of the Priestley Bridge, but everybody else fine. Route 11's got volume problems in Danville, but just to stack up at the lights, that's the sum total of that wait for folks. On the news line with us now is Mark Steyer. He's the director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, and they've been monitoring the governor's budget proposal, then the budget talks that have been essentially behind closed doors, but every so often we do see a pop-up topic where we get to talk about whether it's the minimum wage or educational funding or the earned income tax credit, things along this line. Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the news line this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I do appreciate that. Been a while since we talked to the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, so iterate to our audience what the purpose of this particular group is.
What we do is monitor budget and tax policy, particularly as it affects working families in the middle class. We're looking for taxes that tax the rich, not the rest of us, and we're looking for programs that work to lift working people up and provide essential safety, social safety net benefits, and adequate funding for education.
And a progressive group, to be sure, where you monitor and make sure that the policies that are talked about in Harrisburg definitely get either a Democratic view, a progressive view, and that the Republicans get to hear that there's sort of other ways to think about some of these topics.
That's right. I mean, too many people in Harrisburg for too long have thought that the only way to grow an economy is to cut taxes for the rich, cut spending for the rest of us. And although they don't say this very loud, keep wages down. We think you build an economy from the bottom up, from the middle out. We need to be raising wages for people. We need to be ensuring that everyone has adequate health care and food security and housing that's affordable to them. We think people need a decent education to get ahead in life, and also so that we can all take advantage of their talents and abilities.
As the Pennsylvania budget's being talked about in Harrisburg, what are the observations of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center?
Well, sadly, most of the priorities I just mentioned are not being met by the Republicans, at least in the House of Representatives. I got to say, we think things are in better shape in the Senate. But if you look in the House of Representatives, what we're hearing is they may not fully fund the governor's request for $260 million in new K-12 education funding. That means property taxes around the state are going to be driven up because the state is not funding the schools enough. It looks like we're not going to see an increase in the minimum wage this month. Legislators are prepared to go on vacation without taking any action on that, at least in the House again. And then it looks like they're going to eliminate a program called General Assistance. It's a very small program. Right now it's less than $50 million, but it helps some of the most vulnerable Pennsylvanians, people who are facing extreme hardships, women fleeing domestic violence, working people who are disabled, victims of the opioid crisis. And it ultimately costs the state very little because most of these folks are just getting temporary aid while they're waiting for Social Security assistance to kick in. And yet the Republicans are pretty cruelly about to kill that program, and we find that very disturbing.
Will the governor be able to get that injected back into the budget or perhaps veto the budget and start a budget battle like we've had in previous years?
I think it's a very hard thing for the governor to do. I don't know. I'd recommend it. Whoever starts a budget crisis typically is not the one to be advantaged politically. It's very hard to explain to people what exactly the cause of the crisis is. I think ultimately the direction of the state is only going to change when we change who's in the General Assembly. That's not something our group focuses on. It's not what we do. But we can point out to the Pennsylvanians that we have a General Assembly that seems way more concerned with serving the interests of the very rich Pennsylvanians and the natural gas drillers than they are with the rest of us. They're not concerned about our education. They're not concerned about raising the minimum wage, which would benefit people not just at the bottom, but people in the middle, because wages would go up as a whole. And they don't seem concerned about the just most desperate Pennsylvanians. It's really hard to understand. They must not be reading the same Bible I'm reading that says take care of widows and orphans, because that's who this program helps.
And what our faith should influence our voting decisions?
Faith influences the way we look at politics. It influences the way what we want from our government. And, you know, my Bible says you take care of people who are in real trouble. And you focus your efforts on the average citizen. That's not what these Republicans in Harrisburg are doing right now.
And why would that be the government's job to enact elements that we find in our Bible? If I read the Bible, I feel inspired to do something. I should do something. Why should our government be the individual that does that?
Well, that's what the Bible says it should do. The commandments in Exodus are given to people corporately as a body. In this country, for our entire existence, we've had programs that you know, aim to educate people, that aim to help the very poor. In Western civilization, we've been doing that for two millennia already. I don't understand why it wouldn't be the government's responsibility.
Minimum wage is something that the Policy Center talks about occasionally. That's been a talked about topic in Harrisburg. Where is that in relation to this discussion, do you know?
We thought we had a deal that was coming along. I think my understanding is the Senate would have reached such an agreement to raise the minimum wage, maybe not as far as we wanted or as far as the governor proposed, but you know, at least a couple of dollars and maybe a little bit more than that. What we've heard is the Republicans in the House simply can't get their act together. They've told the Democrats, you know, we can't even make a proposal for a deal on the minimum wage. And I think the real problem is there's a substantial faction among the House Republicans, probably including Speaker Terzai, who simply do not want to raise the minimum wage. They don't understand that raising wage actually helps create economic growth. They're back in this old mindset that we got to hold wages down to help businesses.
Well, they say
that's not what we hear from businesses around the state, frankly.
Oh yeah, what do you hear from businesses? They say it costs jobs and slows the economy. You say the opposite occurs.
There are lots of businesses around the state who want to see the minimum wage go up. Lots of businesses are paying more than $15 an hour, or at least $12 an hour now, and would like to see it go up because that's where they get customers from. If we raise the minimum wage in Pennsylvania ultimately to $15, and that's in a step-by-step fashion over 5 or 6 years, we would inject another $9 billion into our economy of spending. That's a huge burst. Businesses all over the state would love to see that happen. You know, every state representative who's a Republican and opposes minimum wage says, oh, I've got a pizza shop owner who says that he has to pay $12 an hour, he's going to go out of business. But, you know, if you look at all the states around us, minimum wage is going up almost, or in some cases, above $12 an hour. There's no pizza shortage. Those businesses seem to be doing fine. Why are they doing fine? Because they got more customers. Because their employees stay around longer. There's less turnover, so there's less expense in training them. Because the cost of making a pizza is mostly not labor. So for all those reasons, the economies are doing better around in the states around us as the minimum wage has been going up. The evidence about that is incontrovertible. And, you know, the issue really isn't, is the economy as a whole going to do well? The issue is, who's going to get more of a share of the returns of this economy? Is it going to be working people, or is it going to be all the big business owners?
Earned income tax credit vetoed by the governor would have increased the amount of state tax dollars that could go to nonprofit organizations. Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center view on that veto and the idea of that increase in those EITC funds.
Well, at a time when we can't fund public schools, we find it very hard to understand why we should be draining tax revenues to fund private schools. Many of them religious schools, which we, by the way, have a constitutional prohibition against funding. So we think that this program is an irresponsible program. There's almost no oversight of the money that is being spent on these schools. And, you know, it's just the wrong program at the wrong time, and we're glad the governor vetoed it.
Would you get rid of all of the earned income tax credits? I know, we know they support not only schools at times, but also nonprofit organizations, arts, museum, these kinds of things?
No, the EITC is almost totally goes to help. It goes to two kinds of schools. One is it goes to private schools, where we're basically subsidizing wealthy kids with state funds, or it goes to very religious schools where we're basically subsidizing education that's not a public education, that doesn't necessarily teach the values of tolerance and respect for the rights and liberties of everyone. In both cases, we don't think those schools should be funded by the state.
Right. In terms of education, what's being talked about in Harrisburg? The governor's budget really had very few changes to speak of in terms of education.
Right.
What is happening, and then what should happen in your view?
Well, the governor proposed a really modest increase in state funding for education, a total of about $260 million in a couple of different programs, most of it through increasing basic education funding. Which goes to all the schools of the state and through the new funding formula. We have heard just rumblings that the House Republican budget, which we're expecting today sometime, will not include that full increase. And that's very concerning, because that increase barely covers increase in costs, increases in pension costs. If the schools around the state don't get that money, we're going to see property taxes skyrocketing again. The money has to be paid. We've got to educate our kids, and the question is it going to be paid by local property owners, or are we going to pay it through new state funding?
Some people call it a budget surplus. It's the fact that revenues are higher than expected in Harrisburg. What should happen to that unexpected increase? Pay off debt, rainy day fund, increase some particular line item? What's your view?
Yeah, first of all, I would say I don't think there's such a huge budget surplus. There are new revenues coming in. But, you know, every year for the last 4 or 5 years, the General Assembly has enacted a fairly phony budget, and they did so for the current year budget as well. They underestimated Medicaid spending in the area of $400, $500 million. They relied for the third year in a row on transferring money from one special fund that deals with medical malpractice insurance to the general fund. And for the third year in a row, the court said they couldn't do that. So when you take into account the spending that wasn't paid for, then the additional budget additional revenues is not going to give us a huge surplus. If we have a surplus, we think it should go into a rainy day fund right now, because it's not enough to do that much more. Ultimately, we need new revenues in this state. We have a proposal for a fair share tax, which would raise $2.2 billion. Almost entirely from the top 1% and some from the top 5%, while cutting taxes for 60% of Pennsylvanians. That's the kind of real money we need to be investing in things like education and infrastructure.
Mark, we'll give you that last word. We got 30 seconds left. Go right ahead.
Sure. So you know, we think, you know, spending has been going down in this state as a share of the gross state product. We think we're underinvesting in education and infrastructure. We all pay the pothole tax every year when we fix our car struts and shocks because of potholes. We think we're underinvesting in protecting the environment. And we need to be asking the top 1% to pay their fair share of tax. Instead, we have a tax system where people at the top pay half the rate of in-state local taxes than people in the middle. And that's just not fair.
We have brought up a wide range of topics that we should address more attention to. Please, we'll hook up again in the weeks and months ahead, or perhaps after the budget is enacted, and we'll continue these conversations. Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for calling in today.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to talk to you anytime.
Thank you. Mark Steyer, Director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, PennBPC.org, PennBPC.org.